Like, it's the fear of the shame we think we'll feel if we fail. And I think we also forget that we're allowed to change our minds. Like, we're allowed to be beginners. We're allowed to be works in progress. Abraham Hicks talks about how when we recognize that we want something, we send out these quote unquote rockets of desire out in the universe, which I love that. That's kind of what I picture happening when we truly decide, no, fuck that. We weren't lucky at all. We decided to do it. Hello, my loves, and welcome back to another episode of Oh Hi Self. I'm your host, Sandra Possing, speaker, coach, and entrepreneur on a mission to help you create an extraordinary life you love. I've got a solo episode for you today on a topic that I see making a huge difference for people and that has made quite a huge difference in my own life as well. More on that in a second, but first, some GCI. So when it comes to gratitude, I think it's easy to think that gratitude needs to be all about positive things, and that's just not true. We can also be grateful for the hard shit. And I would say that's actually a very helpful skill to have, to be able to find the gifts in the challenges specifically. So to model that today, I am grateful for all the ways that I've gotten in my own way in the past, my conditioning, my unhelpful tendencies, my failures, my fears, my struggles, all my hard shit. And like, as frustrating as it can be and has been and continues to be, these are the challenges that have created the opportunities for the most growth. So grateful for that. My C, I'm celebrating leaning more and more into manifestation. I've been studying it forever, teaching it to some of my private clients for a while and mentioning it only really here and there more publicly. But lately I've been owning it more unapologetically, which feels so good. I used to be pretty shy about it, like hesitant to talk about it, because honestly, I was just afraid of what people would think. I was afraid I'd be judged, not so much by strangers. I don't really care about that, but more so by people that I know and care about their opinions. I would love to say that I no longer give a fuck what anybody else thinks, but it's just not entirely true. I'm very much a human and, you know, it still pops up, but I do try to catch it and remind myself that what anyone else thinks of me or what I'm into is simply none of my business. Like, they're allowed to have their opinions. And as long as I'm in integrity with myself, I'm all good to stay in my own lane and fly all my freak flags. So it's a work in progress for sure, but I'm celebrating that I'm daring to claim being not just a student of manifestation, but a teacher now as well. More and more of my clients lately have been asking me questions about manifestation and requesting homework and resources related to it, which is super fun. And if you, dear listener, are curious as well, I've got two offers for you that could be a fit. One is a brand new manifestation course, which is now available. It's 6 weeks, as in the content is delivered over 6 weeks, but you can go at your own pace. You could take as long as you want. It covers the basics. So you could take 6 weeks to master the foundations and implement some practical tools and things, could start looking very different for you. There's a link for that in the show notes. I also have another offer that I'm excited to put out in the world, which is one-on-one manifestation coaching sessions. So let's say you don't want to take the course, or maybe you've already kind of got the basics covered and you just want some help applying the principles to your specific situation and your goals and dreams and whatever you're working on. This could be for you. I rarely offer one-on-one sessions or one-on-one. I offer lots of one-on-one. I rarely offer one-off sessions. Most of the work that I do with one-on-one clients is like 6 months at least, or often more. Sometimes I work with people for multiple years. So the single session thing is a rare offering. So if that's something that you want to jump on, I'm not sure how long I'll offer it, but I'm just so lit up by supporting people around manifestation. So I'm doing this as a bit of an experiment. So if you want to grab just a one-off single session, there's a link in the show notes for that as well. My intention this month is to launch something I've been working on for a while. It's a free resource, and it's what's been taking up a lot of my time. Actually, it's part of what has been making me really busy. It's mostly meant as a free resource that I can offer listeners when I'm being interviewed on other podcasts, which I'm doing a lot of right now, but I will definitely make it available to all of you as well. We'll share more about that later. But as a clue, if you're curious, it is related to transforming your relationship with money, which is a topic that I feel so incredibly passionate about and I'm on a mission to help more people with, especially women. Okay, onto the episode. So the topic for today is the power of deciding. I believe that there is great, great power in deciding. And I don't mean deciding like which pants to put on in the morning or whether to have eggs or toast for breakfast. I mean deciding on something that you deeply desire, putting a stake in the ground and claiming it. Let's look at three different kind of typical variations of deciding that I see. So number one would be not deciding at all. Like you just kind of let the world decide for you. You go with the flow. Number two is half-assing a decision. Let's say there's something you want, but you have some fear or resistance around it. So you just kind of like you half decide. This is kind of my specialty. I'm loath to admit, but this is my specialty. And then there's number three, which is actually fucking deciding. It's when you go all in. It's maybe you're scared, but you do it anyway. So let's look at each of these more closely. For number one, for not deciding, I think this is what a lot of people do about a lot of things a lot of the time. And what do you get? You get just the default. It's totally understandable. It's what we do and we don't know who we are, or what we want, or what our priorities are. And we're wired and conditioned to want to fit in, you know? So we seek to conform. We look to others for what to do. I think so much of the work I do with my private clients is just about helping them figure out who they are and what they want. And then it's making decisions honoring those two things. So it's deciding in favor of authenticity and alignment. For number two, with half-assing a decision, I find this one so interesting. I think it's really, really common. It's like we decide, but we continue to play safe. We're always looking around, kind of evaluating. It's like saying like, yes, I want to be successful, but then you never actually go all in because you're so afraid to fail. Maybe it's easier to justify your actions and be like, oh, you know, I wasn't really trying, so it doesn't matter, because then you protect your ego. Or it's like dating someone, but you never really put the effort in because you're convinced that you're not good enough for them and eventually they'll figure it out. So it's like, why bother? So again, you're protecting yourself. Or like, it's like saying repeatedly that, you know, you're going to get back in shape, but then you never really commit because the changes, the lifestyle changes are just too hard, too uncomfortable. So in this place, there's like lots of excuses. There's lots of procrastination. I see a lot of perfectionism here, which is oftentimes just an excuse that lets us procrastinate, which oftentimes is just coming from a, like, it's the fear of the shame we think we'll feel if we fail. So we procrastinate oftentimes under the guise of perfection. So again, we're protecting our ego. We're playing small. And then with number three, like actually fucking deciding and going all in, making a declaration, whew, it's such a different vibe. It's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. It's doing it scared. It's daring to fail. It's daring to look and feel like an idiot. Like this is the kind of deciding that I want to talk about today. I'm also intentionally using the word deciding instead of the phrase decision-making, because decision-making to me sounds just like corporate and boring and formal, like, oh, like we got to do some decision-making on this whatever project later today. Whereas to me, deciding feels much more resonant. It feels more powerful. So number three is, I would say, clearly the most powerful, the most effective when it comes to intentionally designing our lives and achieving our goals and being successful. So why do so few of us do it? The fear of failure, fear of success, which is such a funny one. It's like, we don't think we would be afraid of success, but a lot of us are. Or fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of judgment, fear of our own judgment of ourselves, all of it. And one of the biggest ones I see here is the fear of making the wrong decision. It's like we're so terrified of choosing wrong that we just don't choose at all. And we get caught up in these what if scenarios, like what if? What if I take this job and then I hate it? What if I date this person and they're not the one and I was wasting my time? What if I start a business and it fails and I look like an idiot? What if I start working out and I don't get results? And like, what am I making that mean about myself? We get so scared of all the what ifs. And I think we also forget that we're allowed to change our minds. Like we're allowed to be beginners, we're allowed to be works in progress. What if I take this job and I hate it? Great, learn from it. I'll get another one. What if I date this person and they're not their one? The one. Great, learn from it. Date another one. You know? What if I start a business and it fails? Great, learn from it. Start another one or do better. Learn from your mistakes. In fact, like I don't think I know anyone that hasn't started a business and failed over and over and over. That's part of getting to success with any business. What if you start working out and don't get results? Great, learn from it. Try again. Iterate, course correct. It's like how much more would become available to us if we stopped either letting the world decide for us, or we stopped kind of half-assing the decisions and half deciding because we're playing it so safe. And what if we started to actually fucking decide and declare it to, at the very least, ourselves, but perhaps also to the universe or to a partner or a trusted friend or group? It's like, once we decide for real, we give ourselves permission to charge ahead, to fail and learn, to try and get better. One of my mentors talks a lot about the power of deciding, so much so that several of her students over the years have gotten the word decide tattooed on their bodies, or phrases like she decided, or she decided she could, so she did. Abraham Hicks talks about how when we recognize that we want something, we send out these quote unquote rockets of desire out in the universe, which I love that. That's kind of what I picture happening when we truly decide. It's like sometimes before we've even shared the decision with another human being, we've just made this energetic declaration. That alone sets the wheels in motion. And then the universe starts to rearrange people, opportunities, and circumstances to move you toward your goal. So I'm going to share some personal examples of times in my past when I decided in this kind of a powerful way, like really fucking decided. And then some of the cool things that unfolded after. It kind of goes back to this one bucket list that I made in high school. I think I set a lot of wheels in motion back then. I can picture it so clearly too. I can picture my high school bedroom and I had this cork board and I had this little piece of notebook paper on it. And I had this simple list that just said like bucket list at the top or whatever. And it had things on it like be a personal trainer, be a bartender, be on TV. I think it also had things like hold a sloth. That one is still on the list. Haven't done it yet. But most of these things, like these weren't career aspirations. They were just things that I thought would be fun to experience. I didn't even come up with the TV one. That was a friend of mine who was over and she was like, I'm going to add be on TV to your list. And I was like, huh, yeah, I like that. And so all these things on the list, I was just like, yeah, like the at least the ones that really resonated. Hold a sloth was like more fun and funny. But the ones that felt where I felt something, it's like without even realizing it, I just kind of unconsciously was like, yeah, and I decided. So then fast forward to college and I saw an ad. I was probably sitting, I think I more or less lived on like iced coffee and chocolate croissants in college. So I'm picturing myself sitting, drinking an iced coffee and eating a chocolate croissant at an outdoor table at a cafe at school. And I saw an ad in the paper, like one of those college papers for background actors. I went to UCLA, so we were right next to like all the Hollywood shit and Burbank studios and stuff. And so I was like, okay. So I signed up for this directory. And before I knew it, I was getting jobs left and right as an extra. It was this like incredible fun and wild chapter. I got to be on several TV shows and movies and even a few music videos. And then you take bartending, for example, it's like post-college, maybe my mid to late 20s. And I remembered that bartending was still on my list. And I happened to be in between jobs and it just kind of felt like the right time. However, I had zero experience. I'd been a server and a hostess in a couple of restaurants, but that was it. And then I was like, I'm going to take an online mixology course. So I did that, but that was it. And then if you know San Francisco, I lived in the Marina District at the time. It was kind of like the party part of town, kind of a frat vibe. So there were these two main streets, Chestnut and Union, and I lived right around there. So I was like, all right, I just decided. I was like, I'm going to do this thing that I've been wanting to do. I'm going to get a bartending job. I didn't care what it would take. I was just like, I'll figure it out. So I didn't know how to do it without experience. So I just did what I could do with what I had from where I was. So being resourceful little Sandra that I was at the time, I printed out 50 resumes. Keep in mind that my resume had nothing that had to do with bartending on it other than like this online mixology course, which I'm sure was pretty much BS. And like, you know, worked at this restaurant and like other random jobs. And I just started on one end of Chestnut Street. And my plan was to stop at every single bar, give them a resume, chat them up, and not come home until I'd either gotten a bartending job or given out all 50 resumes. I was so resolute. I was just like, I also decided I wasn't going to go in and try to like lie about my experience and make something up. I just decided to be honest about my lack of experience, but really confident in my ability to learn fast. I knew I was good with people. So I marched out of my house. I go to the first bar. I march up to the manager. I hand him my resume. He basically like glances at it and then tosses it in a drawer. And he's like, do you want to sit down and have a drink? And I did. And I could tell, so there was these group of regulars in the corner and I could kind of immediately read that like, these are the regulars and they have some pull. So I was like, all right. So I just sat there kind of relaxed and I chatted with the manager, chatted with the regulars. And probably 45 minutes later, the manager just took my stack of resumes, tossed them in the trash and said, when do you want to start? And that was, I meant to just do it for a few months. It ended up being like 3 years, but it was such an amazing chapter. I think so much of what I understand now about human psychology and human behavior, I literally learned during those 3 years behind the bar. It was a chance to hone my people skills, communication skills. It was amazing practice listening to people. Oh man, some of the probably best listeners in the world, I would say, bartenders. And that serves me in coaching every day. It amplified my presence as a speaker because I got good at taking up space and like reading a room full of very different personalities at different levels of inebriation too. Helped me get good at facilitating discussions and curating experiences, music, lighting, all of that. Like it was a huge confidence builder. I really loved it. So that bucket list item happened too. And then the personal trainer thing, same thing. I had zero experience, but I had decided at some point in the past, I was like, I'm going to do this. Other than being an athlete myself and working at the front desk of a gym in high school, like I didn't know what to do. In my mind, being a personal trainer meant working in like a crunch or a 24 hour or something. And I didn't want to do that. So I wasn't actively seeking it, but I knew I missed high school cross country. I missed being on a team. I missed being outside and running around. And then I randomly got invited to a boot camp class in San Francisco and I loved it and I joined. And then a few weeks later, the owner asked me to join her team as a trainer. So I was like, boom, voila, personal trainer. Actually, I ended up doing that for 8 years and that was an amazing chapter as well. But here we are. It's like, there's something that I decided. I claimed it. I had no idea how I would do it. This is like classic manifestation stuff too, right? You decide you want something. You don't need to know how. And oftentimes not having the perfect plan is like even better because then you open yourself up to so many random synchronicities and opportunities. Similarly, so I finally launched my coaching business back in 2012. And then probably like a year or so later, 2013 or so, I was like, I want to do speaking. But once again, I had no experience other than, you know, high school shit. Like in cross country, we, the captains, would give speeches at banquets and stuff. And I was a Girl Scout. I was a nerdy Girl Scout all the way through senior high school. So I got to give a speech at an LA County ceremony and stuff like that. But other than that, I was so green. I was so naive, had no idea what I was doing. But I literally just decided I was going to be a speaker. And I was like, okay. So I wrote it on my LinkedIn profile. And then a few weeks later, I get a random inquiry from the Marriott asking if I was available to do a speaking gig for this leadership offsite they were having. And I was like, why, yes, I'm available. And then she asked what my fee was. And I was like, fuck, I have no clue what to charge for this. But I had read that you can just ask what their budget is and then say that. So I did. And they were like $1,200. I was so naive. I didn't even know if that meant like $1,200 for the speaker fee or $1,200 for the whole event. Like getting paid $1,200 to speak for an hour seemed like a lot for me. So I was like, maybe this is the whole event. So I asked her. She must have thought I was so, so cringe. Anyway, but she was like, no, that's for the speaker. And I was like, that's great. That's right around what I charge. Voila. Now I'm a speaker. Now I just got paid for my first speaking gig. Like what? So much just from the power of deciding and daring to like march into it blindly, even though the experience wasn't there. And then since then, I feel really lucky. I've gone on to speak at big companies like Nike and Dropbox and Slack and lots of smaller ones too. But it all started with that bold decision based on a deep desire. Like if the desire is there and we trust it, it's amazing what we can just figure out and we call it in. It's like we attract the opportunities. I didn't wait until I was ready or qualified. Then around 2014, I decided I wanted to do executive coaching. Once again, had zero experience. I was like, I'm going to add it to my LinkedIn. So I put it on there. I put it out there to the universe and I was going to take some action, but I hadn't even figured out like what the hell that would be. I was like, how do you get into executive coaching? And then while I'm trying to figure that out, I had just, again, like sent out the rocket of desire. I'd set the intention. I decided. And then I get a random message from somebody in HR at Lyft. And it turns out somebody had recommended me. I was like, what? So I interviewed, I got the gig, and then I ended up being an external executive coach at Lyft for like a year and a half, working with some of their top people. In 2016, Chris and I got married and we decided to go the unconventional route and prove that we could live as digital nomads. So here again, like we were not necessarily financially set up for this, but we decided and we just decided we were going to do it. We decided we'd figure it out. And we did. We sold everything. We bought one-way tickets. We left. We traveled through 11 countries in 10 months. And then it was so funny. Like we come back and people said things like, oh, you're so lucky. You guys are so lucky you could do something like that. And we were like, no, fuck that. We weren't lucky at all. We decided to do it and we figured it out. We got resourceful. Yes, there was absolutely sacrifices, but we prioritized this. We decided. People would also be like, oh, that's so nice that you got that out of your system so that you can settle down now. We were like, no, this has nothing to do with getting it out of our system. This is a choice. This is what we decided we want. It's not that we want to be nomadic forever, but we want to have the ability to be location independent. We want to have the ability to see the world and adventure and work while doing so. Again, the power of decision. Ultimately, we haven't stayed on the road like that since. But we have done plenty of shorter trips for a month at a time, 2 or 3 months at a time. And we've traveled through and lived through all sorts of amazing places, which again, I just credit to the decision to do so. And then you just figure it out. Another more recent example, I would say a couple of years ago, I started noticing that I was really feeling a lack of LGBT community in my life. And we're up here in Sonoma County, north of San Francisco. And I just kind of like assumed that it would be hard to find up here. You know, it's one thing in San Francisco, it's like the Mecca. But up here in wine country, I was like, doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of gay bars around here. And yet I decided that this is a priority for me, and I would eventually find my people. I, again, had no idea how. I was like, I will either create the community myself, or I will find the community, or I will somehow call it in. And I didn't know how. I just knew that I wanted it. I just decided. And then fast forward to today, we have lots of wonderful LGBT folks in our lives, which I'm so stoked about. I had a really incredible 6-ish month chapter dating this beautiful badass girl last year. We have super fun gay friends that we see regularly who are connected to the local LGBT community in various ways. We actually just right before recording this came back from a monthly drag brunch with some of them. I'm so, so happy to have made that connection. And again, I wouldn't have known to go about it. Like I didn't know where to look or what to do, but I set the intention. I made the decision and I trusted that either I would figure it out or the opportunities would show up. So much of the power in deciding, I think, is the boldness of it. It's the confidence of trusting that even if you don't have the experience, you're willing to learn, or even if you have no idea how you'll get there, you just decide that you will somehow. And it's amazing what starts to conspire. I love the image of putting a stake in the ground. It's like when you decide, even if you don't feel confident or competent or experienced enough for the thing, you choose conviction. I may be new, but I can learn, or I may be single, but I am, or I'm becoming someone who will be an amazing partner or lover or spouse. You choose to know that you can step into that version of you, whatever it is, the identity that can be, do, and have that thing that you desire. And remember, you can always change your mind. That fear for so many of us that when we choose, like we're just going to be stuck with it, but it's really usually not the case. You can almost always course correct or just completely change your mind or pivot. So it's so worth it if you're going to go for something to actually fucking go for it. Like you're allowed to be a beginner. You're allowed to fail along the way. It's all part of the process. But you'll move the process along so much quicker once you decide. So while I just gave you some fun examples of times in my life when I powerfully decided and all the cool and almost magical ways that things worked out, I want to also acknowledge that there are just as many times, probably way more, that I didn't do that. The times, the many, many, many times when I got scared and I played small were the many times that I only half decided. Like I joked about earlier, that's basically my specialty. So truly, I'm recording this episode as much for myself as I am for you. I know that this episode will resonate for some of you, and I know that I need this reminder myself too. I'm really working on making it my default setting, but it's hard. But these days, I do my best to make powerful decisions, make commitments, declarations to myself at the very least, but also to the universe. I'm such a huge believer in the power of setting intentions, whether you just write it in a journal or you kind of like say it out to the universe, whatever works for you. Sometimes I share them with people who I know will be supportive, but I'm pretty protective of my dreams until I feel strong in them. Like sometimes I don't share them. I keep them to myself until they feel less fragile, less shaky, because I don't want to be influenced by someone else's skepticism. Until I feel super solid in my own conviction. That's also why it's so helpful to have people around you who are cheering for you and who will believe in your dreams with you. So how does it feel when we truly decide? I think the feeling of deciding creates incredible peace and relief, especially for those of us who struggle with indecision. That's also me. It's like, instead of all the back and forth, like just fucking pick something, I swear. Just act as if you're going to go full steam ahead. And sometimes that alone, just acting as if you've decided, will help you get clarity if you actually feel differently. And then that decision and that the beginning of that momentum, it's like it sets things in motion energetically for you and in the quantum field. I really believe that. So your homework for today is think about what you want most right now. Like, what do you want to be, do, or have that you might be waffling on and not deciding at all, like just letting the world decide for you or only half deciding? Where can you decide, and put a stake in the ground about something and be willing to show up with conviction and trust that you can grow into that thing and then just let the magic unfold from there? A couple helpful tips on this journey that I've found is deciding powerfully, but then holding it lightly. Like you're willing to adjust. Sometimes when we decide, again, we're afraid that we have to stick with this thing, or we just hold it so tightly and we try to control it and we grip it. But it's like being a badass race car driver that is so attuned to their surroundings and they're just ready to respond. So you're very alert, you're very present, you've powerfully decided, you're marching forward, and you're ready to adjust as needed. It's like gripping and forcing is just not the vibe. I would say that rigidity usually hinders more so than helps. So it's about deciding and then acting boldly whilst holding it lightly, trusting yourself, and practicing like a sense of non-attachment. Okay, so recap of today. I shared my DCI, and then we talked about the power of deciding, three different versions of that I see, which is not deciding, half deciding, or going all in. And I shared some examples of when I've made that kind of a decision in the past and all the cool shit that unfolded. And then I gave you some homework if you wanted. A couple of reminders for those of you who may want to go deeper into this work and get support implementing the concepts and tools that we talk about on this show. There's a couple different ways you can work with me. One of them is called Dream Life Academy. It's my monthly membership. That's free if you want to be in community with other cool people working on themselves. We've got live calls in that group too. And then if you want to master the basics of manifestation, I've got my brand new 6-week online course called Manifest That Shit. And then I also now am offering one-on-one manifestation sessions. These are single sessions. You can just book and buy one at a time. So the links for all of those are in the show notes. And if you want to work with me more long-term and do more like a high-level private mentorship, you can reach out to me for an application for that as well. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a second to rate the show. It's super, super, super helpful for us to get the word out. It only takes a couple seconds. And if you want to be a real baller, then you can write us a quick review or you can forward this episode to a friend. Thank you. I love you. And I'll see you in the next episode.